What you'll find is it's really interesting in the campground space is that you have a lot of work campers, right? And these folks are folks that travel the country and they'll stay on your property and in exchange for free site rent for the month, maybe they'll put in 40 hours of work. And then maybe if they work anywhere over 40 hours, they start getting paid for their time. And it's extremely common to have a hybrid where you have you have several full-time folks, depending on the size. Sometimes you have one or two, sometimes it could be a dozen on a big enough, place. But the work campers will usually be happy to come and stay with their community and chip in and participate and help with events.
Welcome to Passive Income Unlocked, where we unlock the doors to intelligent, hands-off real estate investing. We talk to experts in the space about what they do, how they do it, and most importantly, why they do it. My passion is careful, intelligent investing and closing the investing gap one investor at a time. While money doesn't buy happiness, passive income does have the potential to buy back your time. What would you choose to do with your time if you had enough passive income to live your best life? How would you like to spend your days? What kind of impact would you like to make? I'm here to tell you, dream big. There's no ceiling. It's all possible if you take consistent action towards your goals. It's been said that success is 80% mindset and 20% strategy. So we discuss both. Ready to gain knowledge and take action? Let's dive in. Hey, everyone, and welcome back to the show. Today, I'm very excited to introduce our guest for the day, Dylan Marma. Dylan, thank you so much for coming on the show.
Thanks so much. Excited to be here.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, everyone, Dylan has many years of experience and has been the lead sponsor on $90 million worth of transactions in the last several years, including 750 multifamily apartments, 700 lots of manufactured housing and RVs. And he's worn all the hats in the deals. So really excited to get into your story. Will you please start us off by sharing with us a bit about your background? I know you started in corporate and how and why you decided to get into real estate.
Yeah, so I took sort of an unconventional path, so to speak. I come from upstate New York and growing up, I always wanted to go and work on Wall Street. It's kind of what I saw the model, traditional model of success being when you're living an hour and a half north of New York City. And I sort of had one of those wake up calls about as my junior year of college. And I think it was a mixture of just catching the bug for entrepreneurship, a lot of sort of personal development, and a lot of starting to kind of brainwash myself to think about creating a lifestyle by design and, being sort of my own boss in a sense and like going out there and pursuing building something, right? So that was I caught the bug when I was young, around 18, 19 years old, started to get into all different forms of sales and entrepreneurship and just kind of try my hand at that. I ended up moving out to sunny San Diego because I still had this vision that the lifestyle by design, that was my design at that age and time. I wanted to live by the beach and I wanted to get involved with real estate somehow. So
can I just ask you a quick question before you continue? Is what do you attribute catching the bug to? Like, was there a moment or a story or just something that, something that you witnessed in your childhood?
I think the biggest moment that for me, when I think back to it, if I were to try to define it in a moment, I remember there being a day where I was doing relatively well in school and I was going to, go by pursuing my CPA. And, so it wasn't necessarily like I was having a tough time, but I do remember just waking up one morning, sort of hungover, just living, normal college lifestyle. And I remember picking up a book that was called Choose Yourself by James Altucher. Great book, great author. And it was sort of just the right place, right time. My dad had gifted me the book a while back and I started to pick it up. And I just remember just really having that moment and that, where things started to click. And I said, well, maybe I'm not fully satisfied with the route and the path that I'm on. Maybe I can start to sort of determine what my future really wants to look like and just start to picture and imagine, what would the ultimate life look like for me, right? If I could live my own terms, like how would that look? And then maybe it's worth taking a chance and taking a risk to pursue that, right? So I think that if I were to try to put it back to a day, I think it was just a moment, brief moment of clarity.
Yeah, for sure. What was that book called again?
Choose Yourself.
Choose Yourself. Very cool. Okay. So thanks for that. And would you just, you pick up, you're wanting to live on the beach, et cetera.
Yeah, exactly. I think it was, I wanted, you know, test my hand at something where, you know, I have flexibility and, you know, sort of my lifestyle and I guess autonomy. I've always been a very independent person. And I think I wanting that in addition to living somewhere enjoyable where it's warm year round.
Yeah, for sure. Cool. And so did you ever go to Wall Street or did you nope. decide not to? Okay.
No, I never did. I ended up working for a real estate investment and education company, you know, several hundred people in the company. And I was sort of climbing, you know, up the ranks to being a sales manager, you know, helping sell and manage a team that facilitates selling real estate investing education. And it was sort of selling the dream in a way. And to me, I think there was a few reasons that I got tired of that very quickly. As one, I wanted to be doing it and like actually living and being, you know, the entrepreneur, not sitting there selling and talking about it. And two, I think it just became a bit monotonous after a few short years of doing so. So I started to buy with any, you know, income I could save up. I started to buy single family turnkey rentals, just, you know, just whatever I could do because I was working 70 hours a week. I wanted to do whatever I could do to start, you know, building some sort of form of passive income. And then I started using any, you know, minute of free time I could squeeze in to study multifamily and real estate syndication. And after finding a few mentors, you know, I really developed the inner conviction to one, invest into my first multifamily deal, which is 21 units. That was funny enough in upstate New York where I was going to school. And still have that property today. And that was sort of my get on base. And then after saving up a little bit more money and having some cash flow, I took a big leap of faith to move to the Southeast and go full time into, you know, real estate and sponsoring large commercial deals. And that's, you know, I've been doing that ever since.
Yeah, very cool. So there's a lot there to your story. I mean, just being trained at a young age in personal development, because, you know, as you said, you caught the bug, and then just kind of leap. Like letting your life sort of unfold and following the next thing that makes the most sense. So I like how you were building your real estate portfolio and trying to learn more about multifamily in the process. What was it that helped you get that first deal under contract? Like, you know, I know you mentioned you had a couple mentors and needed to develop the confidence. Like, can you tell us a little bit more about that?
So from the active side, it is extremely hard. And everyone always is looking for this like cookie cutter blueprint answer of, oh, how do I get started? And, you know, it's not like most other career paths where it's very simple and there's a very clear blueprint. You know, where do you live? Who do you know? You know, what are your natural skill sets and abilities, right? I mean, do you chase finding money first? Do you find the deal first, right? Do you live in a good deal market where it's even worth trying to find deals, right? There's a lot of unknowns, I think, when you're getting started. So for anyone listening that's pursuing active early on, I think you just have to let go of trying to have all the answers and just take massive action in every direction that you think is going to be a productive direction. And then, you know, you'll have some lucky breaks along the way and things will start to click. And before you know it, you're in the game. But getting started for me was, like I said, I was in San Diego, which, you know, one point that was my dream market. Now I would never live there again because, you know, just the real estate market and wanting to be in, you know, good, attractive real estate market. But I didn't know that at the time when I moved there. So then I found that out as I started to get deeper into commercial real estate and frankly, didn't love a lot of the markets on the West Coast, although some have done tremendously well. I just felt like a lot of the Southeast markets had just better sort of movement as a whole and better, you know, pricing I could make more sense of. So I started looking at the Southeast and I thought that's where I'd find the first deal. And then funny enough, I had a call from one of my good friends from college that we had been talking a lot about looking at apartments and this and that. And you know, he had found a deal that he thought we should underwrite together through a local broker. And it was just a kind of a, you know, high cash flow deal, double digit returns out the gates. So it was a perfect get on base kind of deal. I can't say it's been like a high appreciation deal by any means, but, you know, it was a great low risk entry point deal for us where we got a third party manager lined up and we were able to get an agency loan on the property and just did a, you know, simple joint venture deal. But kind of going through that first deal, it definitely prepared me quite a bit for, you know, what's to come on larger deals.
Yeah, for sure. Very cool. And I mean, I like what you said about it's not like really a straight, there's no kind of blueprint for getting into this space. And I think that's just so apt because while there are lots of things that could get you, help you move forward, there's no one path and you kind of have to just start. Like it kind of is a mix of luck and circumstances, plus obviously hard work and commitment. But like because there's like a fair amount of like, you know, who do you know and what's available and, you know, where are you looking? Like there's a fair amount of like variety and variables and like what could happen. There's just not one particular path. And so I think that's really important to remember when you're getting into the space. Cause I mean, I think a lot of people try to make it seem like, oh, it's simple. You just do this and you do that and you do that. But actually, you know, it is not a straight and narrow path. Like it is one that you're constantly kind of having to evaluate. And anyway, so I like what you said about taking massive action and just, you know, knowing that if you keep taking massive action in these various directions that you think will pay off. At.
And it's staying focused, right? Because the issue is that you can't, I remember for me, you know, getting to the point where it took me probably 18 months. I don't remember 12 to 18 months or so before I really had the first big break with a larger deal. And then, you know, after that, the next deal, three deals trickled in, you know, within the next 6 months. But I think that I remember doing all kinds of affirmations, like, you know, having to affirm that, you know, this is the right path. This is where you want to go. For me, I had to say no to everything else that wasn't at the time, multifamily syndication and, raising capital and finding quality deals, because there's so many easier either businesses or easier opportunities to start getting some early momentum in. This one's extremely difficult. And I think that, you know, if you want to get in, it's a hockey stick, right? And it takes a very long time to start to hit the exponential growth. And, you know, you have to be laser focused, in my view, to actually get the momentum to where you're going to start seeing some results.
Yeah, interesting. Will you talk more about the hockey stick and, you know, how you it is that you know where to stay like laser focused?
Yeah. So I think that the important part is being sold on the vision, right? Of where it is that you're looking to go. I remember being very intentionally sitting down with other folks that had had massive success in real estate and running my plan by them, right? I sat next to, I met with the developer of some massive, you know, 800 unit buildings in Brooklyn, New York. And he said, well, yeah, it sounds like a great plan. I have some friends that are doing something similar. They're making buckets of, you know, boatloads of money doing that. I think it's a smart strategy, right? With, you know, just at that time, it was just largely value-add multifamily, right? Simple, but going to good markets in the Southeast and improving properties. And, you know, that was good confirmation for me. I sat down with another guy that had net worth of over 100 million and, you know, done most all of it through real estate related businesses. And, you know, he had told me that's a great plan. If I were to start over again, I think I'd start doing something very similar. I sat down with, you know, of course, a lot of people know Grant Cardone, right? He's all over the media. I flew out to his office, paid to get in front of him and pick his brain. And he told me that if I were to do it all over again, starting at your age with your focus, I'd be a billionaire by now, right? And so I did a lot to just reach out to people that were at different stages of their careers, but of course, like much further ahead, to allow myself to have the conviction to know that I was making the right choice before leaving my W-2 to pursue this head on and saying, hey, I don't care if I don't make a dime for 5 years, this is the vehicle I'm going to be in because this is going to give me a lot of things I want out of life. And it's not just money, but it's, you know, a lot of the other things that, you know, being sort of in control of running the business and the freedom that it can bring to you over the long run. And, you know, just I think for me, it's also intellectual stimulation. Like I need that in my life. And if I was doing a business where, you know, it's just the same sales pitch day in and day out over and over again, I would be miserable. So I love the fact that it's a vehicle that, you know, there's constant movement, constant changes. And I think it's something that's really worthy of pursuit of mastery. And that's, I think, what's always attracted me to it.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I think that makes a lot of sense from the active standpoint and I like how you broke it down. What do you think about passive investors and like what some of the main benefits of investing in real estate syndications are for passive investors?
This show is sponsored by Lux Capital Investment Group. Lux Capital provides pre-vetted, highly favorable investment opportunities on a risk-adjusted basis. Our opportunities are diversified across asset classes, geographies, and operators. We are nothing short of rigorous in our approach to evaluating investments. We focus on downside protection, conservative underwriting, recession-resistant asset classes, and forging strong relationships with operating partners and investors. If you want to be an intelligent, hands-off investor and gain access to the types of deals that I like to invest in personally, make sure to go to lux-cap.com, L-U-X-E-C-A-P.com, and sign up for our newsletter.
So I know for our passive investors, one of the most important draws are the tax advantages, especially one of the things. So in the last 18 months, the majority of deals I've worked on have been manufactured housing communities, AKA mobile home parks, as well as RV campgrounds. And those have some of the absolute best tax advantages out of any type of real estate or investment, you know, available to us in this country. So I think that's drawn a lot of folks that are real estate professional by designation, whether they, you know, their spouse might be a real estate agent or a real estate investor, but usually as a household, they qualify and they're able to get, you know, very, very substantial amounts of depreciation. We've had it to the point where for every dollar invested, there's been over a dollar of loss, you know, to that they've received on their K-1s. So that tax advantages are a huge part of it, without a doubt. And then I think that for me, what I like, and I think a lot of investors see, is just the stability of real estate investing. If you're investing in the right, you know, asset, I guess it's not true for all real estate, but depending on what you're investing into, there's not many businesses that you can invest into that you really expect to be here in 40 years from now, right? Everything in this economy is just moving so fast and constantly changing and going through cycles and ups and downs. And when you look at real estate, yes, the, you know, market is moving and, you know, the interest rates are going up and down and this and that, but at the end of the day, it's something that, you know, is a necessity, right? You talk about affordable housing with manufactured housing communities and apartments, which has been the majority of stuff I've worked on. There's a huge demand and there's no way to solve that in the short term, right? So I think that we can look at any of these investments and say, well, there's going to be a need for this in 40 years from now. And I think that that makes people feel very comfortable. So I think that, you know, they like the cash flow, but it's not just the cash flow, it's the stability of the cash flow, knowing that it's going to be here. If it's here today, it's going to be here tomorrow. So I think that's a huge component. But we have investors of all different, you know, types and appetites, I'd say. Like some are really just like heavy, like, I don't care if you pay me a dollar in the next 5 years, I'm in this for the equity appreciation. And I want to see this, you know, multiply my equity through heavy, you know, value add strategies and reinvestments. Whereas others are more than anything, I just want to see 8% a month, every single month, because I want to replace my income with cash flow, right? So it's a mixed bag, but I'd say, you know, those are some of the first things that come to mind.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. It's interesting because, I mean, a lot of deals are structured so that they're getting, I mean, obviously there's a lot of different ways to structure deals and there's more and more, you know, people are doing things in different ways, but a lot of deals are structured with like the cash flow and then the appreciation. Whereas most investors, it seems like, are kind of looking for one, either cash flow or appreciation. Would you agree with that?
I would. And you know, you're seeing more of the strategies now where you're seeing more of like the pref equity positions where there's the option of choosing one or the other. I haven't done too much of that yet. It's sort of a hybrid that we offer for the most part. But I definitely agree that it's a nice idea to be able to kind of be able to pick and choose which one you're more focused on.
Yeah, for sure. Okay. Well, I'd love to hear about some of the deals that you're working on right now. I know you just got an offer accepted, right? Will you tell us a bit about that?
Yeah. So actually, right before this call, yeah, we just had an offer accepted on a big, I can't get into too many details, but it's a big RV campground that it has, you know, 100 plus existing sites and the ability to develop likely 100 plus additional sites on that. RV campgrounds are something that we're relatively new to. We've recently just got into the space in the last 6 months. We've hired a gentleman that's been doing this for over 12 years at some of the biggest companies to help us sort of integrate ourselves and learn the business inside and out. We've also brought in, you know, a bunch of consultants. So we've been studying it for the last year, but really active in the last 6 months. And it's actually made up a lot of our acquisitions recently. What we like about that space is I think it's the Wild West right now in many ways. If you look at where the mobile home park space was 3 or 4 years ago, no one really knew. There was a lot of price discovery going on. No one knew, is it worth an 8 cap or a 10 cap? And today, you know, that space is worth 4 and 5 caps, right? Because it's getting more institutionalized. Whereas the RV campground space, it's a tough space to evaluate. It's a tough space to operate. There's a lot of barriers to entry because of that, because it's not cookie cutter, you know, very, very simple, like income expenses. You have to think about how are you going to staff it? How are you going to market for it? You're using, you know, pay-per-click ads, Facebook ads, different ways to kind of drive traffic. So there's a little bit more of like an actual operational business component to it. And the most exciting part is that the, I think it's 97% are owned by mom and pops around the country. So I think that the next few years, you're going to start to see, I think we're early stage consolidation. Everyone's looking for yield. This is a space where you can see 15% plus cash on cash if you're a good operator. And I don't know where else you're going to go to find that sort of return. So I think that between the low CapEx requirements, because you're really just renting out the land more than anything, and the high yield potential, I think that's going to draw people in. And I think that right now, what I like the most more than anything is, I think, just being early to the party in that sense of being, like, you know, able to help kind of be there during the price discovery stages. And as additional people start moving into the space, because they see the consumer demand, and the consumer demand is drawn by, you know, you have a lot of millennials that are loving outdoor hospitality. Hospitality in itself is changing to more of an experience focused venture now, right? To where people don't want to just go and sit inside an old hotel. They want to go and they want to be in nature. They want to, you know, they want to go and visit destinations. I think COVID really accelerated that process, though I do think it was already something that had been trending for several years. So I think the RV campground space, and also it's not just, you don't have to necessarily have an RV. There's a lot of, you know, cabins and park models and glamping destinations. They call them alternative accommodations that will be on these campgrounds. I think it makes for something that, you know, people of all ages are craving right now. And I think that if you look at the stats, I mean, Thor Motor Industries, which is the largest manufacturer of RVs, they have a $14 billion backlog of RVs. There's so many orders out there that are going to take, you know, 12 months plus to actually get in. So you see this massive influx of people purchasing RVs, massive influx of people that are, you know, seeking kind of connection with nature and outdoor hospitality. So I think you have the consumer demand, which is obviously catching the attention of investors like us, and I think making an interesting, you know, storm right now. So I'm not saying it's all upside. There's definitely risks that come along with any investment. In this case, I think you know you have to be aware there's more operational risk, right? It's going to be a more intensive investment. There's shorter term leases in many cases. So there are long-term RV campgrounds. We love the long-term ones, but some of them are nightly and weekly, and that in itself just is inherently more volatile than having a long-term, you know, annual resident. And then you also have the risk of being, I think, a risk of being overbuilt could become a risk and a threat, right? Because in a lot of counties, they are still friendly towards the zoning, but it just depends on that's more of a location specific thing, like building anywhere else is. So there's definitely some risks, but I think the opportunity right now is exciting.
Yeah, for sure. How are you planning to staff this, like, property that you just got under contract? Is there a property management firm already in place? Are you going to replace that company?
So we manage everything. We have over 25 employees throughout our properties currently. And generally speaking, the first hire on any RV campground is going to be your manager, your sometimes referred to as your campground host, right? And they're going to be there just to create world-class guest experiences and to manage anyone else that is there, right? A lot of it is, you know, it's very important to be escorting anyone that comes into the campground, you know, meeting them on a golf cart and showing them to their site and making sure they're able to get settled in okay and making sure they're familiar with where all the amenities are. So usually you'll have a campground host who's full-time. This is like a 60, 65 hour a week job. They're working weekends, they're working holidays, right? This is not a, you know, a passive job or something you're paying someone, you know, a couple hundred bucks a month for. This is a, you know, this is a pretty high income position, generally speaking. And then backing them, you're usually going to have a maintenance.
So real quick, just on that main campground host, do they switch out with somebody, or how many weeks or months or how does that work?
It depends on where you are in the country, because a lot of these, if you go up north, it's seasonal a lot of the times where you're closed for several months a year. In this case, it's usually, if you're in the Southeast, it's usually either paying a high enough salary where it's just a standard 2 weeks off, or you can have them switch out with people depending on, it really just depends largely on the property itself and what you can afford and what kind of the general makeup on the property is. What you'll find is, it's really interesting in the campground space, is that you have a lot of work campers, right? And these folks are folks that travel the country and they'll stay on your property, and in exchange for free, you know, site rent for the month, maybe they'll put in 40 hours of work. And then maybe if they work anywhere over 40 hours, they start getting paid for, you know, their time. And it's extremely common to have a hybrid where you have, you know, one, you know, you have several full-time folks, depending on the size. Sometimes you have one or two, sometimes it's, you know, it could be a dozen on a big enough, you know, place. But the work campers will usually be happy to come and stay with your community and chip in and participate and help with events. You know, your events are a big piece of what goes on. We have event schedules. So every single weekend, there's some sort of an event going on, like helping with, you know, attracting in kids or families. And it's not just like the 4th of July weekend. That's the easy weekend because everyone's going to be traveling during those weekends. You want to have events on the off weekends to do something exciting to kind of draw people in. So, you know, between your full-time staff and then your work campers, it's all about creating like an exciting experience that people will come back each year for more.
Yeah, that's very interesting. So it's much more sort of experiential and hospitality focused rather than just kind of providing the place. Although, right, sounds like.
Mm-hmm. Completely. Yeah. Yep. It's a huge piece of it. Yep.
Yeah. Very cool. Well, that's interesting. I mean, I haven't had anybody on really to talk about RV camping specifically. And then what would you say the mom and pops are doing that are, you know, that could be improved upon?
The easiest upside in my view right now is online marketing. I think when you look at where mom and pops are, a lot of them they may not even have a website. If they have a website, it looks like it was built 25 years ago. More often than not, the easiest thing to notice is that they don't have online booking. The stats are all over the place. I've heard different stats, but I think 40% is pretty believable that 40% of people book online, maybe more than that, right? It's kind of like if you're booking for a hotel, just think about it. Usually you're going to go online to book. You might call in with some questions, but that's usually what you're doing. Same thing goes in the RV world. So when they're on the road, they're looking for a spot to stay. It's really convenient to, you know, have a nice clean website that has some really attractive photos and the ability to book online. So that alone goes a very long way, right? And we have dynamic pricing, just like take like hotels or airlines. It's changing based on the demand. And then you can have upsell of additional items like selling golf cart rentals or firewood or things like that in addition to their normal stay. But in addition to that, there's also the actual paid advertising that goes a very long way. So instead of just having your website and your online booking, which that alone should do a lot, but doing some pay-per-click ads or Facebook ads can drive revenues up significantly without even making that many changes on a property. Right? If you have a good property that's got good bones, I think they're just leaving a lot of meat on the bone just by not marketing online.
Yeah, for sure. Very cool. Well, thanks so much for helping us learn about the RV space. Is that kind of where I know you have experience also in mobile home communities and multifamily. Are you kind of like turning more of your attention to this RV space?
So that just seems to be where we found a lot of unique opportunities in the last few months. As in terms of this year, 2022, what our big focus is, we're launching our third fund, which will be manufactured housing communities and RV campgrounds. We think that they complement each other extremely well. Because MHC yields are going down, it's a lower cap rate space, but the long-term fundamentals are just second to none. You can't beat the NOI growth that we can predict or project for the next 10 years on manufactured housing communities. So we love that. And then we think that with the RV campgrounds, those are providing a lot of really attractive sort of off-market, inefficient pricing deals that have significant cash flows. So we think the combination of the two, plus both of them have extremely good tax benefits, makes for a really nice blended risk-adjusted return for the investors. And then as far as multifamily is concerned, we're here in Tampa. We will be doing large multifamily deals. You know, we do plan on doing at least 200 plus unit multifamily deals in the Tampa MSA this year. We are vertically integrated to the core. So not only are we self-managing all of our MH and RV stuff, but we also self-manage all of our multifamily. It's the only way I've ever done it. I've used third parties on some smaller properties before, but just never been a huge fan. I am definitely a big believer in us controlling, you know, the operations. And I think in my whole view right now, and this might be, you know, controversial, but it's definitely, I think the days of just like throwing a stone to syndicate deals in all different markets around the country that you've never actually even visited are over. I think, this is, you know, with now the margins are thinner, the upside can still be phenomenal on multifamily, but I think you really should be hyper-focused on local, you know, or areas that you know very well and pay a lot of attention to and watch everything in that market that transacts. I think that's just, there's less margin for error there. So yeah, as far as our focus goes, that's really our big goals this year is probably another 1,000 lots of MHRV and, you know, a few hundred of multifamily. But at the end of the day, I mean, goals are, you can set all the goals you want, but you have to see what the market will bring your way. So
awesome. Well, thanks so much for your perspective, Dylan, on just, you know, the different commercial real estate asset classes. I think it's really intriguing what you're doing and, you know, finding kind of the new wild, wild west of commercial multifamily, because the space is kind of maturing, both multifamily and even mobile home parks and et cetera. So thanks so much for coming on the show. Please share with the listeners how they can learn more about you and anything else you want to share.
So the only real social media platform I'm active on is LinkedIn. So I would suggest plugging in with me there. And you can visit our website at therequitygroup.com. That's equity with an R before it. And you know, we send out monthly newsletters to our investor base. So you can feel free to, you know, plug along there. And we also actually just recently, I'm not even used to mentioning it yet, but we also just launched our own podcast as well called Operators and Allocators, which you can now find on iTunes and Spotify.
Awesome. Cool. Well, definitely check out Dylan's, you know, his various things, resources that he just mentioned, his new podcast that's launching. That's super awesome. Thanks so much again, Dylan. It's been a pleasure and we'll see you next time.
Thanks so much. Really enjoyed the show.
Thank you so much for listening to Passive Income Unlocked. Before you go on to continue with your amazing day, please take a moment to reflect on what you truly desire in life. Then think about one thing you can do to push the ball forward in that direction. Also, please head over to iTunes, Spotify, or wherever you listen to podcasts and leave an honest rating and review of this show. It really would mean so much to me. Passive Income Unlocked is brought to you by Lux Capital. Lux works with investors nationwide to invest in real estate. We are closing the investing gap one investor at a time. Connect online at www.lux-cap.com, LUXE-CAP.com, for tons of free educational content to further your success.